You may be seated. Is my voice audible in the back? Can you hear me all right? Good. Let me begin by welcoming you all in the name of the Jonker family. Your presence here this afternoon means a lot to them and is both a testimony and a tribute to the love that you have for Kobe. And I speak in the present tense. For this afternoon, we confess our faith in Christ, the one who freed us from eternal death through his death on the cross, and who opened the door to heaven when he rose on Easter morning. And we rejoice that our sister, Kobe Starring Jonker, may now share in that victory of Christ. Even as we pray for ourselves, that God grant us this afternoon the gift of his loving consolation. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, Good Shepherd, we come to you this afternoon celebrating your grace in the life of your child, Kobe. Even as we mourn her passing, what a strange combination, Lord. Thankfulness and tears, joy and sadness. Not always easy for us to sort out, for we live in the world of the not yet, awaiting the fullness of your kingdom, when we reunite with all the saints and learn to sing a new song. Help us today to celebrate the good and fine gifts you gave us in Kobe. Help us today to say, thank you, Lord, for a life well lived. Put your arm around us in laughter and in tears and bring us closer to you in faith and confidence. Amen. Most of the songs that we will sing today were chosen by Kobe herself. And the first one expresses her love for God's creation, his beautiful world, and his good gifts. Would you join me in singing For the Beauty of the Earth? And maybe you want to stand for that. Please be seated. Our confession of faith this afternoon is taken from Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, a confession that Kobe, too, had to memorize when she was a child, and a confession that she lived until the end. We'll do the traditional thing. I'll ask the question, and then in unison, we'll give the answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Be thou my vision. Let's sing it together.
I am Anne, Kobe's younger sister. A few days ago, several family members were able to visit Kobe and Roland's place. As we were discussing her life's journey, we were blessed to say Psalm 23 together from memory. Kobe, in her weakened voice, boldly stated these words. Today, I have the privilege to share that beautiful, comforting psalm with you, all of you who loved our dear Kobe. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you.
My name is Nellie. I'm the oldest sister in this family. This is my sister, Wilhelmine.
Yeah, I'm Wilhelmina, and I'm the second one, the second oldest.
I have some memories and recollections written down. It's limited. There's far more that went on, of course, but I tried to get a general theme going. So, share with me. On February 3rd, 1945, our dear sister, Jacoba Josefina, or Kobe, was born in the small town of Sassenheim in the bulb-growing district of the Netherlands. It was a time of fear, desperation and hunger, death and destruction, but also a time to celebrate survival and recovery. In that first home with her family and all the subsequent homes Kobe lived in with dearly loved family members, there was music to be made on both a little pump organ or piano, mostly in the form of hymns and church music. So, then, to celebrate the event of the birth of this third child, our dad, Marina Staring, brought home to his wife, Jacoba Betta Staring, a green vase with yellow tulips. I also remember that sometime later, Kobe was the recipient of some articles of clothing distributed by a local charitable organization. It had likely been included in one of the airdrops onto the open fields behind a house, but organized by a Canadian organization. A picture exists of Kobe standing in a field behind our backyard in the Zuiderstraat, wearing a burgundy-colored outfit, pants, coat, and hat, and arms raised in celebration. In February 1952, the family, now enlarged by the birth in 1950 of youngest sister Anne, was preparing to cross the ocean to Canada. In the week prior to departure, Kobe was making a recovery from a respiratory illness, and for a while it seemed that maybe she would not pass the health inspection prior to boarding. However, having taken our first automobile ride ever to get to the port of Rotterdam, Kobe was allowed to board the Zuiderkruis for the journey to Canada. The family could leave their homeland on February 12th. Having boarded and put luggage in our designated rooms, we stood on the deck of the Zuiderkruis and watched the shore disappear. The ship was designed for carrying freight, and Dad was separated from his family. Mom and her four daughters slept in one room. Both Kobe and Mom suffered quite severely from motion sickness, could scarcely hold down any food during the whole journey, which included sailing through a storm. Dad and the three other sisters were not as severely affected. The arrival of Marinus and Jacoba Staring in Halifax at Pier 21 on February 20th is indicated on a small plaque paid for by Kobe and Roland and mounted on a memorial wall in the arrival area of the pier. The family having settled in a small house on Alma Drive, the three oldest siblings started attending Humber Heights Public School, and Kobe adapted well to this, soon inviting friends over for a visit and even a birthday celebration. Our family had also acquired another pump organ, and loud arguments often erupted as to whose turn it was to play it. Later, now living on Steeles Avenue, Kobe continued to develop her keyboard skills on the same organ. Various systems of schooling eventually prepared her for a teaching career, which started in the Guelph Christian School. She was assigned to teach grades 1 through 4. We remember she would leave home from Steeles Avenue on Monday mornings to return on Friday afternoon exhausted and sick, badly in need of time to recover. This was also the time that Roland became a welcome visitor. The two of them would drive out to some small country roads for privacy. As the years passed, we witnessed her courage and dedication as she and Roland put heart and soul into caring for son Michael as he battled the ravages of cystic fibrosis. As sisters, we witnessed the sustained, rich parental love dedicated to caring for Michael during his brief life and the bitter pain of his death. As the years passed, we all saw the wonderful joint love, care, encouragement, and admiration for the remarkably talented David. Eventually, there was also Kobe's joy of a wedding celebration as Heather joined the family, and then later, the birth of three beautiful grandchildren. Another good memory is that of Kobe and I enjoying and enjoyably sharing the piano playing for the hymn sing at Faith Manor in Holland Christian Homes. Making music on the piano continued as a significant part of her daily and weekly activities in various venues. Our sister was very resolute in cherishing family life, as well as participating in social and general cultural settings, always with a strong will to enjoy and share in all the wonderful and beautiful things in life on earth. She dedicated herself to living this life to the fullest and richest, in part by engaging in research, which would result in traveling to many countries. Dealing with all the difficult things in her life, starting in childhood, had made her strong and resilient. With her significant organizational skills, she and Roland generously shared and encouraged and invited participation in their cultural and recreational activities. Our sister was a blessing in many ways to many people. She was much loved and will be greatly missed. Memories will remain to be cherished by her sisters, as will love for Roland and his family.
My name is Alice Vanderkooy. Kobe and I have been friends for a long time, along with a lot of other people. Kobe and my life ran quite parallel with each other. We both immigrated on the Zuiderkruis. We immigrated in 58, she in 52. I'd like to remind her that I was 7 years younger than her all along the way. We taught in some of the same schools, and so it's my privilege today to share some memories, not just on my behalf, but on behalf of her many, many friends. I'd like to begin with a quote from Parker J. Palmer, who in his book, On the Brink of Everything, says, "Wholeness is the goal of life, but wholeness does not mean perfection. It means embracing brokenness as an integral part of life. The sooner we understand this, the better. It's a truth that can set us free to live well, to love well, and in the end, to die well." Kobe understood that. Kobe was first of all an educator. From her own education in a one-room schoolhouse in Streetsville, where she helped out with the younger students, no doubt, she began teaching at 18 years of age in Guelph. The challenge? 4 grades in one room. No degree. They needed someone, and Kobe stepped up. That was a recurring theme in Kobe's life. Kobe stepped up. From there, she moved from grade to grade and from school to school. Timothy Christian School in Rexdale got lots of her attention. She taught there in the late 60s, took time off in the 70s to care for Michael and David, and to get her degree. Then returned in 1982 to help shape the kindergarten program there. This is where our paths crossed for the first time, as she and I shared a grade 2 class, each half-time. For me, as a teacher of senior grades, teaching grade 2s was terrifying. I needn't have worried. Kobe was full of ideas and more than willing to share her expertise with me. In the early 90s, Kobe, never afraid of a new challenge, moved from Timothy to TD Christian. In the end, she taught almost every grade level from kindergarten to grade 12 at some point in her career. Her favorite level, grade 6, she told me last week. She then returned to Timothy Christian School as its administrator. One of her colleagues and friends of that time says, "Professionally, I admired Kobe's dedication and leadership. She was so organized and helped the school grow. I remember how she went out of her way to help students who did not fit the classroom mold. She took them into her office time and time again to help them overcome their difficulties. She also imparted her love of books to the students, challenging them to read a certain number of books. If they did, she would spend the day doing her work on the roof of the school." So they read and read, and she spent the day on the roof. So much fun. Kobe continued on to at various other schools as a principal, interim administrator, consultant, or mentor. She met challenges boldly, and her goal was to be on the leading edge of current best practices for Christian education. She was forward-looking, seeking ways to make the school or community a better place. When there was a new project ahead, whether it was helping someone in need, a new school to mentor, or later serving on the board at Holland Christian Homes, her enthusiasm and generosity were boundless. A favorite memory is of Kobe and Roland combining their gifts. Kobe's educational expertise with Roland's architectural skills to discuss what a school should look like. Kobe was proud of Roland's accomplishments, taking time once they had both retired to travel around the country, taking pictures of all the spaces he had designed. So, an educator, also a lifelong learner. There was rarely a conversation that did not include mention of a book she was reading, a CBC program to which she had been listening, a lecture she wanted to attend, or a movie that she and Roland had been to see. She spearheaded a book club and made sure it stayed focused, challenging them with her questions, ideas, and a whole range of reading material. She was at home in the world of ideas, willing to entertain a variety of opinions, even those that were controversial. Friends remember good times, drinking a glass of wine over an intense discussion of a significant issue. She defended her point of view with determination and tenacity. Kobe, as already mentioned, taught herself how to play piano and organ, and then proceeded to lead music during worship in assemblies and at parties. She played at a senior's nursing home every Christmas for many years, single-handedly organizing the music, the booklets, the soloist, usually Roland, and the choir, making us all sound so good. Kobe particularly loved this piano here. She would often come on Tuesday mornings to practice or simply to play for the joy of playing, enhancing the lives of all who were present in the church on that day. We will miss seeing her musical leadership here on Sunday mornings. Yes, an educator, a lifelong learner, but also a fellow traveler and friend to many. She was not attached to stuff, but to people and experiences. Friendships were strong and deep, some going back 40 or 50 years. Kobe made sure we celebrated special occasions, birthdays, New Year's Eve, anniversaries, Canada Day, among others. She helped organize and participated in an endless number of bike trips here in the city, along rail trails, and further afield. Together, Kobe and Roland were gifted hosts. We remember wonderful dinners at their place, in Woodbridge, on Parkside Drive, at Queens Quay. Kobe kept faithfully in touch by phone, by email, by visits, and by Facebook. She took our challenges to heart and was happy to give us suggestions on how to improve our lives. So, I will end with a list of suggestions, activities you can do in memory of Kobe, alone, with family, or with a group of friends. Listen to CBC. Visit sites around your city using public transit, walking, or biking. Be a proud Canadian citizen. Read all manner of books. Don't just talk about getting together with friends someday, actually do it. Buy a bunch of yellow tulips, pick some lilacs, or any other flowers that bring you joy. walk and talk about how you can fix the world and say, if people would only listen to us. Share the latest accomplishments and adventures of your grandchildren, radiant with pride. Diane Ackerman, an American poet, essayist, and naturalist, writes, "The great affair, the love affair with life, is to live as variously as possible, to groom one's curiosity like a high-spirited thoroughbred, climb aboard, and gallop over the thick, sun-struck hills every day. Life began in mystery, and it will end in mystery, but what a savage, beautiful country lies between." Kobe lived her life variously, fed her curiosity, and galloped, or maybe I should say biked, through her days right until the end. She acknowledged that life and death and life after death are a mystery, but that she knew she was going with God. We will miss you, friend. You will not be forgotten.
Affair. I better put this up a little bit here. We're a taller family here, I think. My mother had a rich social and professional life, but also loved being a mother. When she and Dad found out that their firstborn son, Michael, had cystic fibrosis, a fatal genetic disorder that threatened to strike again, she was already pregnant with me, and so I slipped into the world under the wire, so to speak. I always imagined that under different circumstances, she would have happily surrounded herself with a large brood of children. She loved the energy of children, their sense of wonder and adventure, and that love carried into a career in early childhood education. At home, she took great pleasure in entertaining family and friends, but took no great pleasure in creative cooking or baking, or any domestic activity, really, for that matter. It was Dad that did all the sewing and the craft activities with us, and we were taught to share in the household chores and learned how to make meals. When Mom began teaching at the school I was attending, I would help her with the Gestetner machine after school, making blue-inked lesson sheets for the next day, or shooting hoops in the gym until she was finally ready to go home. Mom truly reveled in being a mother when she was leading the family on some exciting new adventure. She loved to travel, and she loved new cultural experiences. She never got overly attached to one place. Family and church community were much more important to her. And so when I started high school, we moved to Woodbridge from Etobicoke so I could stay in the Christian school system. And when Heather and I were married and living in High Park for a time, Mom and Dad moved down to High Park. And when they moved into condo some years later, they also moved closer to our place in the East End. And in fact, my mother always threatened to follow us anywhere, and that was particularly true once we had children. She was thrilled to add a daughter to the family in Heather, but as Grandma and Grandma Kobe to the extended family, she was truly in heaven.
Good afternoon. So my name is Micah, and standing beside me are Naomi and Avril and my brother-in-law, Harrison. And we had the privilege of calling Kobe Yonker our grandma. There's this saying, if you raise your kids, you can spoil your grandkids, but if you spoil your kids, you'll have to raise your grandkids. I like to think that my dad was raised well, and so spoiled we must have been. I remember spending countless hours as kids at their old house on Parkside Drive, the glass coffee table that we used to lay under, upon which Naomi, I think at the time around 10 years old, assembled the entire Toronto subway system using station buttons that Grandma had collected. The backyard garden with the chives and the mint that Grandma had grown. And I don't remember this, but apparently in the heat of the moment, I ran full tilt into the glass sliding door on the porch, thinking it was open. And of course, the chocolate sprinkle sandwiches that marked every visit. That house holds an incredible number of memories, and it was bittersweet when Grandma and Grandpa moved into the condo on Lakeshore, or on Queens Quay, I should say. Little did the grandkids know at the time that the condo would soon hold just as many wonderful memories of our grandparents. A special one of mine is playing Canadaopoly with Grandma, sprinkle sandwich in hand, of course, for hours on end, sometimes scoring big on my Chateau Frontenac and CN Tower combo, but more often than not claiming bitter defeat at the hands of capitalism. And if that isn't love, I don't know what is. They also had a pool at the condo for which Grandma would supervise while we swam lengths and had handstand competitions, most of which Avril won. In our memories, every visit is filled with love and family, right up until the end. Grandma had a special talent for enjoying life, and when I look back at the photo boards, I can see that she always has. She truly believed that every day on this earth is a gift, and we should live every day accordingly, holding on to what we love and letting go of the things that cause us strife. She wanted to see and experience everything the world has to offer through travel, history, and relationship. Her life was filled with an infinity of moments, and each moment is remembered by all of us who had the incredible gift of knowing her. Each of us were given a forever within her numbered days, and we are and always will be infinitely thankful. I once said to Grandpa that it's my goal in life to be as cool in my old age as he and Grandma were, to be able to enjoy each moment and cherish every day like they do, because life is not forever, and every minute is a chance to make a memory. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. We had to say goodbye to Grandma, but she lives on in every puzzle we do, in every time we play piano, in every pool we swim in, and in every sprinkle sandwich we make, and we will all miss her.
What a wonderful time of sharing. Now, I remember Colby telling me, I have so much enjoyed receiving emails, phone calls, letters, people dropping by in the last number of months. It was almost overwhelming. And for the service, when I'm gone, I'm quite content to have my sisters, my good friend Alice, and my family speak. But just leave it at that. And encourage people to continue sharing memories, anecdotes, things from the past with family and friends after the service and in weeks, months, and years to come. You would honor her by doing so. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, Lord, that we may be memory keepers, that we may be people who can share, laugh, and cry together, because we are family and because we belong to you. Will you be with us the rest of this service and as we continue to honor you and our family? May you bless us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Another song chosen by Kobe was the next one we'll sing, One Peace Like a River. It is well with my soul.
Thank you. My name is Leo Jonker. I am Roland's older brother. I would like to read a section from John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd. Who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
Our text, if you will, for this afternoon is Psalm 23. I will not read it again. And two verses from John 10. When Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, she or he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Dear Roland, David and Heather, grandchildren, family, people of God, dear friends, how can you even begin to summarize a life? Where do you start and where do you stop? A fully engaged life. I think that paragraphs and even books could not do full justice to Kobi Jonker. Faithful, loving, devoted to her family, generous. Could Roland have had a better wife? Or Michael and David a better mother? Or could grandchildren be so blessed? Resilient, determined, feisty, you'd almost run out of adjectives. Gifted, well-read, a musician, a teacher, a principal. Love traveling, biking, gardening, flowers, all living, growing things. A volunteer. And how I enjoyed being on the board of Holland Christian Homes with her and on the care committee. Always well-prepared, super organized, a leader, involved, thoughtful. Yeah, where do you begin and where do you stop? Which makes me think right away of discussions Kobe and I had serving on a subcommittee at Holland Christian Homes, where we discussed, of all things, end-of-life issues. And saw eye to eye on the Christian concept of life as a continuum, endless and eternal, along the lines of Lord's Day 1 that we confessed, that we said together this afternoon, that belonging to a faithful Savior in life and in death is our chief and only comfort. And therefore, that idolizing biological life as something to be clung to at all costs is idolatry. Little did we know then about Kobe's impending battle with cancer. And yet we could continue our discussion almost without saying a word, as it were. When just over 2 weeks ago she asked me to read and meditate on Psalm 23 when the time would come for her celebration of life service. And I know, a little bit naughty, tongue-in-cheek, I said to her, oh, Psalm 23, it's so well known, it's almost a little bit like a cliche. And she said, well, because belonging to the Good Shepherd has come to mean a lot to me these last month. And she wanted that theme to be front and center at this service, the Good Shepherd. And Pearl was not surprised. She told me that the last time she sat at this piano, it was just a week before we went on vacation, she wanted to play Psalm 23. A bit later, I told her that all the Christmas decorations, at least most of them, would be removed from the front of the auditorium for this service. Those decorations included a door, and that I had asked that that door remain there because it is such a fitting symbol of the Good Shepherd. And the next time I saw her, just a few days later, Kobe said, I've given some thought to what you said, because Kobe always thought about things. And I really like that door being there. I think the words she used were beautiful and appropriate. And then we spoke just a little bit about a door. It's a passageway, an entry point, a crossing point, and a mystery of what lies on the other side of that door, a mystery, a reality that we can only speak about like a blind person speaks about colors. But there is that wonderful, comforting assurance that it is the Good Shepherd himself who says, I am the door. The words of our text from John 10, verses 7 and 9, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who assures us, if anyone enters by me, she will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. You know, Psalm 23 has been a tremendous source of strength and comfort to literally millions of people throughout the ages because it speaks of peace, assurance, joy, even in the face of the valley of the shadow of death and beyond where a feast is being prepared in the presence and in spite of old enemies like cancer and cystic fibrosis and death. When the final threshold is crossed through the doorway into the house of the Lord, a table is set before us and we will rejoice. Psalm 23, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. And a good shepherd is a shepherd who loves his sheep so much that he watches over them, leads them, feeds them in green pastures, beside quiet waters, and even at night when he has let them into the sheepfold, himself lies in the opening, the gateway, the door of the sheepfold, and makes sure that no harm comes to them at night. No wolf or mountain lion will get at them except over his, through his body. For the sheep are precious to the shepherd. He knows them by name, the Good Shepherd. And Psalm 23, of course, is a prophetic psalm. It points forward to its fulfillment in Christ Jesus, the one who says, I am the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, and I know my sheep by name, sheep like Kobe, lambs like Michael. Christ who says, I am the door of the sheep. That is, I am the guarantor of their safety, either side of the door. And I place my body between them and all possible enemies. I will let my body be broken and my blood be poured out to open the door to the house with the many mansions, my Father's house. And more than that, I don't only open the way, I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, that is, trusts and believes in me, that person will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. What a wonderful promise. Kobe entered by the door last Monday, trusting her good shepherd, finding peace in him, surrounded by love, friends and family, but surrounded and carried also by his love, surrendering to his care. We may have wanted to keep her a little bit longer. She was ready and she wanted to go. But of this I'm convinced, her choice of Psalm 23 was at least partially motivated by her desire to share the comfort and the strength and yes, the joy that comes with our surrender to the Good Shepherd, the one who places an open door before us, who opened his arms to receive her, not because she was perfect, even though I remember her saying that it almost felt like people were fitting her for a halo when she read all the emails and heard all the wonderful things about herself in the past month. But she knew better. She knew her own shortcomings and her need for the Good Shepherd, the one who loves sinners and invites them to his table. And last Sunday, we could celebrate that yet together as we shared bread and wine, symbols of sins forgiven, and the Good Shepherd who invites us to his table to a feast of new life, life without end, in his secure keeping. The one who invites all who hear his voice to find rest and peace in him. And that invitation, Kobe wanted to be heard loud and clear on this day. The comfort with which she herself had been comforted. The invitation to all who doubt, all who mourn, all those who carry burdens, the invitation to family and friends and to all those who have ears to hear, the invitation to know the Good Shepherd and to find in him the door, the doorway to the peace and love that God wants to give. So that precisely on a day like today, on an afternoon like this one, we learn to sing the song of faith. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone is solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depth of grace and peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. Amen. Would you rise and sing that with me? Be seated. Let's pray. Good Shepherd, door of the sheep, gift of God's love, hear us this day in our perplexity at the loss of Colby. Why do we have to miss her, and miss we will? Be with us as we mourn her passing. Be with Roland and the family especially. May they feel and experience the nearness of the family of faith in the days ahead. Hear us this day in our confession of faith, that belonging body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ, we live the earthly portion of our lives in the confidence of an open door that is set before us, a passageway to eternal joy in your presence and a blessed reunion with all who have gone before. And Lord, hear us this day as we celebrate your grace in a life well lived among us. May we tell stories and anecdotes, laugh as well as cry, and thank you for your gift of Kobe. And now may the grace of the Good Shepherd, your unfailing love, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us, now and always, world without end. And all God's people said, Amen. Our final song is an Advent song. Advent means expectation and faith. Would you rise for that? O come, Emmanuel, and then remain standing as we listen to a beautiful song. I first heard it when Kobe played it for me on a recording device, an Irish blessing, deep peace. So we'll sing, O come, Emmanuel, then remain standing quietly while we listen to deep peace. Afterwards, you may join family and friends in the parish hall for refreshment and fellowship. With your eyes. Oh, come,